As you take your seat, if you'll turn with me to our scripture text this morning, which is taken from the Gospel of Luke, the Christmas story. This morning, we're looking at Luke chapter 1. It's on page number 1588. If you want to turn to it there in your pew Bibles, also you have a green bulletin insert that has some sermon notes and outline that you can follow and fill in the blanks. But as we begin our reading this morning, we're in the passage in which the angel Gabriel has come to visit Mary and to announce that she is to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit and that nothing is impossible with God. Her response is, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Picking up in verse 39, "At that time Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished.' And Mary said, 'My soul glorifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who were proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones. He has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers.' Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months, and then returned home." Christmas is all about worship. Here, herald angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest. Gloria. See the shepherds seeking, returning to their flocks after seeing the Christ child, praising God and proclaiming the word of God. Watch as the Magi, the wise men from the east, bring their gifts, bowing down in reverent worship before Jesus, Emmanuel." This season we have been talking about all of our most loved traditions of this time of year. Some of my favorites include Christmas children's pageants. I love the kids as they bring their message. Our school presents a marvelous program. Also our kids, the Christmas cantatas and concert tonight. And I also love the carol singing, the sacred music of the season, so rich with teaching about the incarnation, the coming of Christ. What's your favorite Christmas carol? As you think about all the songs that we sing throughout this month, my favorites combine sentiment and substance, the moving parts musically, along with Christ-centered, substantial content, such as what we just sang, the first Noel, or the Gloria, the angels singing, angels we have heard on high, or angels from the realms of glory, once in royal David's city, Silent Night. As we consider this theme, as we've been talking for the last 4 weeks, seasoning the season with Jesus, the reason for the season. We're bringing out the full flavor of Christ in all of our Christmas traditions. We've talked about seasoning your greetings, your givings, your gatherings. And this morning I want to talk about seasoning our glorifying or our worship, our praise, as we learn to praise God with our whole heart, bringing glory to Him. This morning I want to look at that theme in our passage, in our text. First of all, think about season our glorifying. First of all, glorifying God in His house, in the church. Christmas in our church is a wonderful thing. The candles, the poinsettias, the music, the sermons. I love to preach this time of year against the backdrop of the wonderful setting of Christ's birth. Worship, Christmas Eve, candlelight services, one of the traditions that define the season for many of us. Even seekers, even doubters, are more apt to visit our church this time of year, more than any other, even Easter. But sometimes, even with best intentions, we tend to miss the gift in the gift wrapping. Think about it. It's easy to focus on all of the gift wrapping and miss the point, miss the gift. Every year with the aesthetics, the atmosphere of worship, a predictable order of worship every Christmas Eve, adding layer upon layer of personal memories and individual expectations for what's to happen. Sometimes we allow our sentiments to suffocate the significance and purpose of the services, which is to worship Christ, the newborn babe. Sometimes it's not hard to lose the flavor of Christ in the midst of all the things that are taking place. Evangelist Luis Palau tells a story that illustrates this point. He tells a story of a wealthy European family who decided to have their baby baptized in their enormous mansion. Dozens of guests were invited to this elaborate affair, and they arrived dressed to the nines. After depositing their elegant wraps on a bed in the upstairs bedroom, the guests were entertained royally. Soon the time came for the main purpose of their gathering, which is the infant's baptismal ceremony. But where's the baby? Where indeed is the baby? No one seemed to know. The child's governess ran upstairs and returned with a desperate look on her face, not in the nursery. Then someone recalled seeing the baby asleep on a bed, one of the beds upstairs. The baby was on a bed, all right, buried underneath a pile of coats, and all right, jackets and furs, the very object of the day's celebration, seemingly forgotten, neglected, and nearly smothered. Well, there's a picture of Christmas. And Jesus, where's the baby? It would be tragic to sing the carols, to light the candles, to hear the children sing and forget the child, the one who is the centerpiece of our Christmas worship. We need to come and focus on Jesus as we worship Him in His house, as we come and remember Emmanuel, God is with us. Ears tuned to hear the angels sing, seeing the Christ. Let us glorify Him in His house. And Yet, praise, glory to God is more than just a church thing. Think about it. We can glorify God in our house. You can glorify God in your house, in your home, among your family. Elizabeth was doing that in our passage. She was at home when Mary came to her door. She burst out in praise. Blessed are you. A benediction to God and His chosen servant Mary. Blessing. Blessing the Lord. Zechariah, her husband, when their son John was born, you know, John to be called the Baptist. Zechariah broke 9 months of silence. In a verse a little bit beyond what I read, it says, his mouth opened, his tongue was loosed to praise and worship God spontaneously, exalting and glorifying the Lord. Zechariah, a priest in the temple, not unused to worship, yet the most memorable words that he ever spoke, recorded for us here in Luke chapter 1, words of praise, remembering God's mighty acts in the history of his people, the Benedictus, the benediction to the Lord. Mary, as we just read, singing her song of praise, an expression of submission to the Lord's will, rejoicing in all that God is. And all that he has done. By the way, Mary's song reflects the song of Hannah, Samuel's mother in the Old Testament. Sometime go back and read that. Compare and contrast these marvelous songs of praise by these two women. Even John the Baptist, glorifying God in his home. In his mother's womb, after all. In verse 44, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Imagine, it's possible for an unborn baby to recognize the coming of the Messiah. My, the implications of a preborn baby being aware of God's presence, being the first one to recognize another unborn child, preborn child. Think of the significance for the sanctity of our preborn children and God's place in their lives. There's no place too obscure, no place too distant, no place too unholy to praise the Lord. In our homes, the centerpiece of our Christmas feast is Jesus. Jesus, creatively consider how to refocus on Christ amidst your family gathering. Jesus, the subject of our affection and devotion amidst all the distractions, let us praise Him in our home and in His house. And yet, that's not the place where worship really starts. Worship starts in our heart. Glorifying God in your heart is the key to all this theme. Mary's magnificat, as this is called. My soul magnifies, my soul glorifies the Lord, she sings. A song that came from her heart as well as her lips. Take time this morning to check your heart. What is your heart devoted to today? Christmas, with its reflections. Refocus, recalibrate your heart's affections, your heart's desires. Prepare your heart. That's the place to start. Can't even begin to worship until you've received Christ in your heart. I'll never forget my first Christmas as a Christian. I accepted Christ. Even though I grew up in the church and knew all the stories, 1971 in November, on a young life retreat, I received Christ personally into my heart. And that Christmas, everything came alive. Now
all of these stories were all about God coming to save me and you.
All of a sudden, all this historical content was personal. And
what was played in black and white, so to speak, now became Technicolor in 3D or HD as the story came alive.
The reality and significance of the birth of Christ,
my Savior. I pray that that is your reality this morning. That from your heart, you can praise Him. Receive Him. If you haven't already, open wide the doors of your heart. Bow in adoration. Enthrone Him in your heart's affections. Your King of Kings. Your Lord of Lords. This morning, I want to share another illustration about very familiar piece of music, a classic masterwork. As amazing as it seems, George Friedrich Handel wrote his entire oratorio, The Messiah, in only 2 weeks. The first time it was performed was in Ireland in 1742, and then a year later it was performed in London. In attendance at the London performance was King George II with all of his royal entourage. The king, King George, was overwhelmed with the power and majesty of this incredible music. It caused selected passages of Scripture to come to life as the choir and the orchestra began the Hallelujah chorus. King George spontaneously sprang to his feet in a worshipful response, taking his cue from His Majesty, the Lord Jesus. The king's attendants also rose, followed by the entire assemblage, and all stood through the final Hallelujah to this day. It's customary for an audience to stand whenever the Hallelujah chorus is sung. As I was preparing this message, I felt it was most worthy to prepare the messenger as well as the message to prepare my heart. So I went online and came to watch and listen to the Hallelujah chorus. And I couldn't help myself. I said, you know what? We gotta watch this. One of my favorite YouTube videos is of a flash mob in Macy's department store in Philadelphia. It used to be called Wanamakers. But all of a sudden, worship broke loose. Let's see if we can watch and listen. Crank it up, Ken. The anticipation is killing me. Got to have a commercial, of course.
Remember this? It's
Thank you. as we stand in the presence of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We stand in praise of His honor, for He is the King. He is our Lord and worthy of our praise. We can praise Him in our church. We can praise Him in our homes. You can even praise Him in a department store downtown. The key is to praise Him in your heart. Praise Him.